This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Enterprise Biz Bites. Today, I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Raj.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock. We will try to avoid Game of Thrones rants and spoilers today. Can't guarantee that, though. If you'd like to get in touch, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Get us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Topic of discussion today, interesting one. The influencer is dead. Long live the slacker. Our question is, do sponsored posts on social media turn you off? Interesting discussion we're going to have a little bit later on. That goes through to, what is it we're talking about for you? Haute couture?
Yes.
Haute couture, trash boutique that is making teens rich.
Yeah.
More social media
building
stuff.
Building their entrepreneurship spirit.
Uh-huh. And then wrapping up with a number of dead people on Facebook and how their number is rising. I'm trying to avoid spoilers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm doing here. Right, yeah. Ladies and gents, this story comes off the back. We've spoken quite a bit about, obviously, social media and companies getting involved in social media and why for some younger, smaller companies, sponsored posts and all that kind of stuff is an important way of getting their message across and their brand across. And a lot of people have kind of jumped on the bandwagon of sponsored posts. These influencers, younger influencers, they tend to be, you know. And I was just saying to Arvind off air and Audrey, there's a couple of people that I follow, local influencers who I follow. And one minute they are at the beach and they're doing one thing or another, and the next they're talking about insurance. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, put yourself in a pigeonhole for a little while. You know, tell me what it is that you're marketing and why you're marketing it. You know, don't keep jumping from one thing to another. One minute you're telling me about the new phone I should be getting, the next I'm looking at the sneakers I should be wearing, the next I'm looking at the insurance I should be buying.
Mm-hmm.
And none of these things are resonating with me because it feels so schizophrenic and it's not genuine, right? And I think that's a big deal. And then the story that I read a couple of days ago, and you look at it the cycle of history, you've got the 80s, which were all about making money, and the New York Stock Exchange making millions for people. And on the back of that, you had, you know, the 90s rolled around, and you had grunge music, and you had all of that stuff.
Skateboarding,
mm-hmm. and the checkered flannel shirts, And then what happens? You know, we get to the 2010s or the 2000-whatevers, and we end up with people who espoused all of those ideals. You know, I don't want to be this, I don't want to be that, I don't want to be this. And all of a sudden, they've taken everything on board,
mm-hmm.
and they've completely sold out.
Yeah, right? For valid reasons.
Right.
So they say that the millennials have to sell out if they want to make a living for themselves.
Because they don't want to work.
Because they
was a joke, by the way, just for those of you listening at home, just to be clear.
Because they can't afford the kind of lifestyle that they want to live today.
Right.
So when millennials came out, they said that they have to take side gigs, they have to hustle, they have to take any kind of gig that comes their way.
Mm.
And that includes selling a version of their self to companies that want to buy their platforms and buy their sort of presence online. So if they have a following, a significant following, companies want to pay them to say something to this following.
Now, there is that argument of, well, I sell my time to my company for 8 to 10 hours per day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I dress how they tell me to dress. I do what they tell me to do. I behave myself whilst I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it's not that different, really, is it?
It's not. But the only difference is you are selling your time to one company.
Mm.
Millennials don't want to do that because they say that there's not enough money to be made from one company. If you have one job, then you just cannot sustain a proper lifestyle in today's environment. You cannot afford a house. You cannot maintain a car. You cannot afford any sort of comfortable lifestyle. So they say moving forward, because of how expensive things are and how the economy has changed and how the sort of like the middle class has dwindled and declined, millennials have to take on these side gigs and just take on any gig that comes their way. So if some cosmetic company wants to pay them a certain amount of money to say good things about their brand, millennials have to do it.
But the struggle, Arvind, the struggle.
There's no, they don't care about the struggle.
Right.
They don't want to be loyal, or they, I shouldn't say they, I should say we. we don't want to be loyal, or we don't want to struggle. We want to, it's all about, we've spoken about this before. It's all about the hustle, the hustle and stuff. And the hustle includes being the best worker that you can be. And being the best worker you can be means taking on any job that comes your way, whether it's a gig, whether it's emceeing something, whether it's putting a post on one of your social media platforms, if it pays you some amount of money that'll help you pay one of your utilities that month.
Mm.
Hence the birth of the freelance economy.
Yes. Yeah. So they say without the freelance economy, if you're going to make like one mode of earning, you just can't. It's not sustainable. But this is the same kind of thinking they say that came up in the 80s, the late 70s to 80s. So there was Wall Street. There were people just, again, hustling, trying to make money and stuff. And the 90s sort of came around and went, we don't want to do that anymore.
Right. I mean, the 80s was that response to Nixon and Reaganism and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was people like, how do we make money? How do we turn an economy that's been on its head and been in the doldrums for so long? We get off our bums and we work hard, you know? And the kind of downside to that was that you had, for want of a better phrase, the 80s, which is a decade that most of us would like to have forgotten. So it makes me think, when we look back at a period of time in history and we talk about things like Reaganism, we talk about the 80s with and let's be honest, for the most part, disdain, apart from some of the cool music in there. How are we going to look at this period in history and look back on it, and what do we move forward with, and how do we discuss it, how do we talk about it, what will historians say about this period of time?
I mean, even like you look at the Gen Zs coming up. So Gen Zs have a sort of cynicism towards like social media.
Right.
Social media used to be the thing for millennials. Social media used to be the thing that was fun, that you went online and you met your friends. It was a new way to communicate. Like, it started with like MSN Messenger and ICQ, and then it moved on to Facebook. Then it became Twitter and Instagram. So social media was supposed to be a fun place where you could meet up with people that you knew.
Yeah.
And then very recently became very sort of toxic. It became very corporate. It became a way for giant tech companies to get information from you that they were not telling you that they were getting from you.
Mm.
So Gen Z and generations after Gen Z, what Gen Alpha, I think, they have a sort of cynicism towards the internet and social media because they don't know a world without social media. It's the norm for them.
Yeah.
So they are sort of slowly like breaking away and they have a sort of liking towards content that disappears, which is why we see Instagram stories more than Instagram posts, which is why we see content that doesn't stick. They want to put something online and they don't want it to be there forever, like perpetually. So even the aesthetics of Instagram is changing. Even the way Instagram and Facebook deals with your information is changing. And they don't want their information to be held by giant corporations. So if they're going to use social media this way, it means that they could bring back quote-unquote slacker mentality.
Okay, well, let's talk about a couple, just before we take a break, of those changes that Instagram have made over the last couple of years. The way in which they tweaked their algorithm so you can no longer see your timeline in a way that,
It's not a chronological order, right? It's no longer what it used to be where you see the most recent posts. It is now kind of like jumbled up.
Right.
And you're only reaching about 10% of your follower base, right?
Right. So I was thinking, well, why is that? And then I think if you look at it from the mentality of an influencer or a business or whatever, if you are somebody who posts regularly, like every 5 minutes, for example, some people do, right? And bum, 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 bum. As you're scrolling through your Instagram feed, if you do it chronologically, you are seeing 5 posts by that same person, aren't you?
Right.
And especially if you are an influencer who's making money from those posts, that's a good audience to have, because you've seen it. And, smartly, Instagram have come in and said, well, no, we can't allow that. It's not really fair to the other people that are on there, and it's not really fair to the other brands and the people who are just sharing organically. So part of me was like, I hate that they've done it, but the other part of me is like, I understand why they've done it.
Yeah, because they're catering to a new audience now, and an audience that sort of sees through their algorithms and stuff. Because they know algorithms at the like the back of their hand. They sort of grown up with this technology and stuff. What do they call them? Like digital natives.
Yeah.
So they can see through the kind of tactics you're using to get them to see content, and they don't like it. They want to see more organic content, and they want a way to use platforms without being owned by the platforms, which is again very 90s. It's skateboard culture. It's anti-corporation, down with the man, down with the machine. Those kinds of, you know, that kind of mentality.
Mm. You look at Nirvana, the song that they, you know. The big hit that they have.
How can I
not remember that? Yeah. You know, which is essentially a rise against the man, quote unquote, you know, made on an album that they never expected to sell the way that it did by a massive, huge record company that went to number one, you know, and even the guys in Nirvana were like, what's just happened? Have we sold out by selling millions and millions of records?
And Kurt Cobain, he famously didn't like it.
There you go.
Yeah. He spoke against it. He said he doesn't want to be this famous.
Yeah.
So if we move forward like this, it could mean that social media and sort of like internet platforms are used by people who don't want to sell out the corporation. It'll come back to skater culture. It'll come back to more sort of like laid back culture. It'll come back to a way of being loyal to either one brand or not being loyal to any brand at all. Freedom culture. So no one sells versions of themselves or their time or their platforms to any of these companies. If they want to sign contracts, then they sign actual contracts, which means that they take an interest in the thing that they are pushing to their audiences.
Which technically would be the death of the influencer. It would go back to sponsorship like you have for athletes and the like.
I don't know why we're talking about this in the future tense, because I think it's already happening.
All right, folks, that's where we are. We're discussing about is the influencer dead? Long live the slacker. Our question to you then is, do sponsored posts on social media turn you off? Let us know. 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter and Instagram. Ironically, we're at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break with some music from Bad Religion and Cyanide. When we get back, more discussion. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Speaking of false marketing, we're talking about influencers here on Enterprise Biz Bytes. Not all of them, of course, but there's a large bunch on there who sell or try to sell products that are not necessarily the most accurate or convincing of advertisements, even when they're pretending that they're doing something that happens to them in their real life. We know it's not. We're not that silly. Mm. Anyway, my name is Rich Bradbury, and you're tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Today, I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Audrey Raj.
Our topic of discussion today is the influencer dead? Long live the slacker. The question that we are asking is, do sponsored posts turn you off when you scroll through your Instagram feed, when you're going through your Facebook, or all of that kind of stuff? We've had a few responses over on Twitter. We're going to hit those up first. Arv.
Yeah, so this comes from Lim Si Ching, who says, defo, or definitely. It does turn him off. And then Swanee says, not if they are engaging and there is actual good content. You can tell if the social media influencer puts in effort or not.
All right. I've got Occasional Philosopher over on Insta Story saying, depending on the content. Meowpit says, I just don't know if the review, quote unquote, is reliable. J885 says, I think it's a bubble that's nearing bursting, like Facebook. And then I've got yes, and big time. So there's quite a few.
Quite a few.
So here's the thing, right? We've been talking about this for more than a year now. It was, I think, Rocks 2018, where we had a panel on Is the Influencer Dead?
Yeah.
And I think it was a resounding no. Mm-hmm. So maybe we are jaded by the big influencers, the ones that have like your 20,000 or 20 million followers and all. But the rise of the micro-influencer is real. These are the people who are genuinely making good content, stuff that resonates with them, and that's the formula that makes it work. And the issue here is, I sometimes feel like we rush to blame the influencer themselves. You know, we say like, oh, you know, one minute he is on a beach, the next minute he's selling insurance. It just doesn't seem real. It's not something that resonates with us. It's not real. It's not real life, right?
Yeah.
But if you think about it, if clients were willing to leave the content to the influencers, because these guys know what they're doing.
They know their game. Yeah,
and allow them to pick and choose how they promote the product. I think that is when you see good organic content being posted on Instagram, right? Mm. Like I've noticed that you can tell when it's real and it's not real. You can even just like, you just, for example, I follow a micro influencer who has suddenly decided to post a product on hair growth. And, you know, she's saying like, oh, I've had hair growth problems for so many years and all of a sudden now my hair is wonderful. And then you look back at her post, right? And you can see like her hair just looks the same. Yes. You know, so for me, like, and all of a sudden I'm put off and I'm like, I'm not following this person anymore because it doesn't feel real. But then what does gain my respect is, you know, sometimes you see some stars who have like, it says they're paid partnership with Revlon. And right. At least then you know. So they're not trying to force it on you. They're telling you this is something that's paid. This is something that I'm paid to do. But when there is something that is naturally posted, that gains my respect as well. I kind of respect that this is what they're doing. I know they're earning money from this, but it doesn't feel forced on me, so I'm not put off.
Yeah. What's interesting is also they say that the changes in fashion also indicate the rise of the slacker. So they say that fashion, there's grunge is coming back slowly. Grunge elements. Grunge basically means that you don't have to dress in the morning. You just throw on a t-shirt and don't button up, which is nice.
Wonderful.
Which I love. And then it says like trends like normcore. Normcore is when you dress extremely normally, like how you would at home. From what I understand, I don't exactly know what it is, but
uncle.
and the roomier. Pant leg silhouettes, they say, is coming back, which is more reminiscent
of... Do not ever do a fashion show.
Laid back. It's not... Yeah, which is why I don't.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't. It's all more reminiscent of the laid back 90s than what we have now. So even
there
looking at...
There were bigger jeans, weren't they?
You know? Bigger jeans, yeah. Or just basically jeans that didn't fit you well,
right.
Which is grunge again.
Yeah, yeah.
So they say that even fashion sort of indicates that the slacker is... coming back. The problem is, they say that it's difficult to be a slacker today because it was easier to be a slacker back then because you had less necessities, which I agree with. I think it'll be fun. I think it would be fun to be a slacker for a month and then I wouldn't be able to pay my bills
exactly.
The next month. Yeah.
You think about it now. I mean, back then you didn't have...
internet
for
bills?
The most part, an internet bill to pay or a phone bill to pay or looking at some people back then, even groceries to buy, you know.
Yeah.
It was a case of like you got by with as little as you possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, in many ways, you didn't celebrate mediocrity, but you kind of appreciated it for what it was. You didn't really care about doing particularly well. You didn't want to sell out. You saw all of these bands kind of just making music just for the sake of making music.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even do cover versions, you know. It would be like, no, I'm making my own stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. You know,
just keeping
it real, you know. It
just
comes down to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at like the kind of posts right now that are really working for influencers, you would see that they're kind of like the slacker posts too. No filters. Everything's very real. Everything's very raw. And that's what's working. And at Brandfest last week, there was a presentation. I can't remember by whom, but this person said that there's a 90% take up on your stories because there's no filter. It's raw. It's real.
Mm.
And that's what more brands are looking at right now. Just because, you know, the filtered pretty posts on Instagram, not getting as much engagement or traction.
You know why? Because digital natives. So because they know they can see past the filter.
Mm.
Even if there's a hashtag that says no caption, no filter.
No filter, yeah.
You can tell that there's
you
a
can
filter.
Tell there's a filter, yeah. And
a lot of the phones now, though, come with that built-in filter that you cannot switch off. They kind of, you know...
It's a filter on the camera itself.
Yeah.
But for the first batch of people who started using social media, filters were cool because you could change the way your picture looked, you could brighten your pictures, you could put some sort of effect on your picture to make it look better than it actually is.
Mm.
For the people who sort of were born with the phone in their hand, it's fake.
Mm.
It's like, I know it's a filter, it looks way too colorful, nothing looks like this in real life, so they just want to do without the filter.
Right.
Which makes perfect sense. It works for the generation that were introduced to the filter. It doesn't work for the generation that doesn't care about filters, which is Gen Z and the ones who want to bring slackerdom back.
Okay, well, let's just shift tack a little bit and talk about you know, small businesses and their use of social media and sponsored posts. Okay, so when you're scrolling through and you are looking at, let's forget about influencers for a second, but when you see a picture of a product, right, whether it is, I don't know, a toy, a game, a foodstuff, a pet supply or something, does it still resonate with you the same way now as it did when you first started seeing sponsored posts on Instagram?
Even more now, especially sneakers and stuff.
Right.
Especially
why
sneakers.
Is that?
I don't know. I think it's just because, you know, a sneaker can't look. A sneaker looks like a sneaker looks like a sneaker. So when they put a picture of a sneaker on Instagram and I see an ad, I know what I'm getting.
Right.
But if I look at like a post that's sponsored by a company and someone's talking about this product, I don't know what I'm getting exactly. I just know that someone who was paid to talk about the product is telling me things that they were meant to say.
Mm.
But if I see an ad with a picture of a sneaker and it says that we have size UK whatever and, you know, it's available in stock, I'm like, okay, so it's like going to a shop, only I don't have to go to an actual shop. They just ship it to my house.
I'm with Arif. So the whole advent of the shopping tags on Instagram, I think, has made a big difference. Mm. Also, I like knowing that you're just showing me what I could have, and if I want it, I'm like one click away from buying it, rather than have someone tell me like, hey, these are cool, these look nice. Like, exactly like what Arif said, you know, just keeping the posts real. I mean, if you're trying to sell me this, I know you're trying to sell me this and that works, but don't try and like
sneak it.
Don't try to fudge it. Yeah.
Sell me something.
Okay, so in conclusion then, do you think that brands, smaller brands, or even bigger brands, would benefit from getting rid of the influencers now and going back to traditional advertising on social media?
Maybe. I think it would work for, like, the newer batch of people using social media, yeah. Because I don't think the influencer can go for very long. I mean, they won't. I mean, the title says influencers dead. They're not dead, but their popularity is sort of, like, declining, in decline.
Because we're aware of what it is and we don't like it. And,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's still hanging in the balance. I don't think, like, influencers are dead, like you said. You know, micro-influencers who are keeping it real. The slacker micro-influencers, I think that's the next big thing.
All right. That's where we are, folks. Join this discussion, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter, or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. A short break. Mr. Johnny Cash is joining us in the studio. Oh, how I wish. With I Walk the Line. When we come back, we'll be discussing the haute couture trash boutique that is making teens rich. I have no idea what I've just said, but Audrey's going to explain it to me when we come back. And you guys. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.